Professor, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Church Planner Podcast. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, but today I am joined by someone who I am very excited to introduce to you. I am talking today with Joey Cook. Joey is first a husband, then a dad, then a pastor, and he's also an author of a book called Disciple Trip, which was published in 2020. But that's not why we're talking to him today. The reason we're talking to him today, and one more title, a friend. I am in a group of leaders, almost like a master class, but we were convened by Todd Wilson to do this thing called life planning, which Joey has become my friend as a result of us just trekking together, figuring out our life directions for ministry. And it's funny because everyone here listening probably thinks, Peyton, you got that all figured out. I mean, I listen to your podcasts, I read your books. Think again. There are different stages of life, different seasons, and different opportunities. And sometimes you just got to kind of recalibrate the instrument and figure out what, you know, hey, is my compass truly pointing north anymore? I have been blessed by Joey as a friend, as a person. I was telling him, everybody who meets Joey loves him. He's just one of those guys, you meet him and you like him. I know you're going to like him, but you're probably going to really love the topic. We are going to talk today about a ministry that Joey's involved in, an incredible disciple-making ministry that combines disciple-making and golf, which I know that got your attention. I know a lot of you just perked up. Oh, golf, you say? So, Joey, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be here, Peyton. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, brother, like there are just people you want to share. And I have shared some of my mentors on here, but I want to share you with people. So Pete Mitchell doesn't get mad at me. He's normally my co-host. You do some work, but Pete would make me stop and ask you how you came to faith. He will not let me interview someone unless I first ask their story.
Yeah, so I grew up in a little country church in the Ozark Mountains of North Arkansas. It was a hell and brimstone kind of church, and came to know Christ, at least his ability to save, at the age of 10. It took me into college to actually start following and walking, realizing that Jesus was a friend and he wanted a relationship with me. But also it took me into my 30s to realize that Jesus could actually satisfy me. So that's a little bit about my journey, how I came to faith. And man, honestly, though, it's now I'm 44 and I'm actually trusting him and trusting others and growing in relationship with him as I learned to extend that to others. And You mentioned earlier before the call, just I have a loving presence, and I just want to go on the record and say that any good that you see, really, it really is from the love of God in my life. And I told my wife yesterday, we were coming back from a funeral of a family friend, and I said, honey, you have manifested the love of God in my life. Like I have a hard time receiving love, but seeing her love me is really just, I feel the love of God through her. And man, it is my desire in life, Peyton, in the golf community, in the church that I have the privilege of pastoring, I want people to experience the love of their Father. I think we live in a culture that feels unloved and struggles to love themselves. And so we're looking for love in all the wrong places. And man, it's available to all of us at every moment through the Father. And any good that I've ever been a part of is only because of the love of God. It really is.
That's so cool, man. Well, thanks for sharing that. And Joey, there's a lot of things that, you know, as I've gotten to know you, have kind of surprised me. Parts of your story, you're very humble. You made that very quick, but, you know, we'll get to that maybe by the end. But hey, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, this ministry that you're doing with golf. I know it's just not you. It's some notable PGA players and you. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So we had a mutual friend. His name's Drew. Drew connected a guy named Ben Crane. Ben is on his first year of the PGA Champions Tour right now. He's a five-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's just had a lot of success in the game, built a very comfortable life through this, what started as a hobby. But man, when he came to my club and I sit down with lunch, for lunch, and then we went and played, I saw a man leverage a game for the kingdom like I've never seen before. Not only was he the best player that I've ever played with, I mean, he shot a fiery 66. It's the first time he ever saw the golf course in our community. But he stopped along the way. He prayed for people. He prayed for us. He shared scripture, but it wasn't, it was just top of mind. It just, the love of God just came out of him, and golf is his platform, but the mission of the cross and the love of the Father was his purpose. And so we at that lunch table that day, I said, Ben, what's the dream here? Yeah, I just heard about they did a video. Any of your golf listeners will know they did a video called The Golf Boys. I think it was him and Ricky Fowler and a bunch of PGA guys, and they just made a ridiculous hip hop video, and it went super viral in the golf world. And he got all this notoriety from just being goofy and having fun on tour. Well, then they decided because they were believers. And they took the word of God very seriously to start a podcast called the Bible Caddy Podcast. So I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with that. If they're not, go on and look at Bible Caddy Podcast. They do about a half hour of golf banter, and then they do a half hour Bible study, and it's rich. It's so rich. Their Bible study is, it's not a superficial kind of just, It's gospel rich. It's theology rich. It's led by a guy named William Cain. William was a caddy on the PGA Tour. Most importantly, a child of God, and he was a missionary. He saw golf as his mission field, and so they're kind of one of the things that put them on the map. They've done really well as a podcast, going all over the world now. Was Scottie Scheffler came in the day after he won the Masters. And was on the show, and they didn't think he would even stay, that he would even do the show after winning the Masters. I mean, it's the Super Bowl for golf, and but he wanted to do it because Scotty loves Jesus, and it was the only interview he took, and so it was streamed all over the world. And I said, Ben, what's the dream? Because I just became familiar with the podcast. He goes, well, it's funny you mentioned that. We have actually been praying that God would allow us to be a part of starting what we're calling feature groups at country clubs and golf communities all over the world. And what was so crazy in that moment, I literally threw my head back and started laughing. I had been drawing on a napkin for 6 months, essentially, calling it the gospel caddy. I'm like, God, how do you use this passion for this silly game of golf that I am just infatuated with? How can I use this for your kingdom? Because this really is part of the sweet spot of my life. I live in a golf course community. We've been building relationships in our neighborhood and on the golf course. And really, that course it's my watering hole. It's my third place. It's my mission field. And subsequently, we have a lot of golfers in our church now. It didn't start that way. We started on a college campus, but now families and men are following Jesus. They've come into our faith community, And so I asked Ben what the dream, he told me about feature groups. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know why God brought me to this table. We're in, I'm in, and I'm here. How do you want me to start, basically? And he goes, okay, well, you know, we want to meet at clubs. We want to make disciples here at these country clubs and want to invite men to the table and teach them what it means. So essentially to get the gospel out through the game of golf. What's so crazy is they had a dream of having 50 of these started by the end of last year. There's now over 160 globally, and they've never promoted it. I mean, they talked about it on their podcast, and then it just started taking off. And so there are so many now that they need help. And so they have asked a handful of us to be what they call regional leaders. And I have about 25 now, 25 local clubs that are, that I get to help coach and lead everything from Brentwood Country Club, William Cain's group there in, outside of Nashville to the Ed Sheeran tour. So we have a Bible Caddy feature group that is a part of the Ed Sheeran traveling tour. And so, yeah, we just had our first call last month. This is new and fresh, and it's taking off like wildfire. We have our own group meeting at our country club tonight, and we'll have somewhere between 20 and 30 men. Some have been following Jesus for a while now. Others are not following Jesus, and they're looking for purpose and meaning and friendship, and they love golf, and so they're coming. And they're getting to hear about the gospel, and then they're going into, we call them foursomes. So we break up into tables of four, and then we start peeling back the layers of the onion. And we ask men what's really going on and how could we pray for one another. And it's transformative. It's changing our golf course community. It's affecting our neighborhood. It's changing the restaurant where we gather, the waiting staff, the chef. It's been impacted, and we're just watching the kingdom flourish.
That's amazing. So, okay. So, you know, with the foursome, you know, they're sitting around a table, and obviously Christian guys, they're not going to be useless, right? Because we don't typically do this in church. And even if they're in a small group, right, there might be discussion centered around a topic in your small group, like we're going to go through this Bible study. You might share something personal, but it's not focused on you, right? Men aren't used to someone saying, what's really going on? Uh-huh. How are you? This is a safe place to talk. But how does this work with, say, the non-believers? Because I know there's a pull, right? With some of these guys involved with this, I mean, I've got people in my church plant that golf, and I've got one guy who's not yet a believer. I was speaking with him this morning, praying for him before he went into a procedure. And he goes golfing. I mean, we just started our church service at noon, and he's like, that works perfect for me. I can get on the tee at 6 a.m., be home by 11:30, you know, quick change and get over to, like, it's a dream for him on a Sunday morning. But the rent was cheap. The church is like $300 a month to meet in our space.
Wow.
If you do it at noon, we're like, we'll take it. This is great. We're one block from the beach, Joey, and we have avid surfers in our church. And the rumor now is like Peyton's planting a surfer church, which Peyton did not plan on planting a surfer church, but I'm in Carlsbad and we're one block from the beach. You could literally walk from the sand with your board up to the church. And at noon, that means everybody surfs. It is the coolest thing ever. But man, this is so strategic. And I'm just thinking of my buddy and how this would rock him. Like, this would absolutely rock him. What are some of the stories of God working that you've seen on the ground with non-believers, like just coming into this thing? Like, how does that work for them?
Yeah, I think part of just serving in this area of the country, I've kind of learned some things about how people think. They may not be a follower of Christ. But most of the folks in this area at least have a little bit of knowledge of God. And so it makes me think of a guy named Adam. Adam, good friend of mine, Adam Gray, met on a golf course. His stepson and my son are best friends, play a lot of golf together, and started spending some time. He's an electrician by trade. Adam and I started spending some time together. And I said, hey, why don't you come to this men's thing? I think you'd really enjoy it. We pray. I've got the kitchen brings out appetizers and you can order your drinks. And it's just a good, fun hang. And we're going to talk about the Bible. And what I'm finding is there's a desire from most men to learn and grow. They already feel some level of inadequacy. Maybe if it's Easter, for example, Easter's coming up, folks are wanting to, they want to have something, they want to be able to talk some level of spirituality because they know that they need something, their family needs something. It makes me think of that scripture in Acts that says, let us not get in the way of those who are coming to the Lord. Like there's already a drawing of the Spirit. And so we just get to be kind of a catalytic to provide language, provide scripture. Like tonight, we're literally, it's Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. That's the only verse we're going to talk about. We're going to read it in five different translations. And then I'm going to ask a handful of questions about what do you seek in life? And so Adam was in that process. He was learning and growing. And about 2 weeks ago, he called me. He was driving down the interstate. And he said, hey, man, I know we've been talking about this for a while. I just feel there's just something in my chest that tells me that there's more. And I wanted to have a personal conversation with you. Am I missing something? He said, I brought my family to church and it was communion time. I didn't feel right taking communion and I haven't been able to take communion with my family. Am I missing something? And so I said, Adam, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And he immediately said, no. And I said, would you like to have a personal relationship with Jesus, make him the Lord of your life and receive him into your life? And he said, absolutely. And he pulled his truck over to the side of the interstate and gave his life to Jesus in that moment. And the first thing I heard about after he said, I feel like 1 million pounds has been lifted off my chest and I can breathe for the first time as an adult, was his stepson saying, hey, what happened to my stepdad? He's different. And it started by the first kind of touch was him coming to a group. And he told me, he said, it's very uncomfortable for me to come to this group early on. He said, but every time I do, I realize I desperately need it and I leave feeling better. So it started as he didn't know what he was doing. He was just being drawn by the Lord. And this group got to play a part in his life.
It really is disciple making. I mean, you know, until you have that, you know, that non-believer that enters your midst, you're doing discipleship, which is great, right? But the second that non-believer puts her toe in the ring, you've entered into disciple making. You're on a mission now. And I love that. And I love that you didn't shift the gear to what people want, right? Like, I love that Henry Ford quote where he said, if I had asked what people wanted, they would have said faster horses. Mm-hmm. That you gave him a car, you gave him a vehicle to actually experience transformation. Mm-hmm. You didn't just say, hey, we're going to, you know, golf guy come up, give a testimony, and, you know, and then we make an appeal and that's it. No, you made it personal, right?
Yeah.
Another famous quote, Lord Mountbatten, who said, you know, oh, things have come to a pretty pass if religion is going to start getting personal. But you made it personal, right? You've taken this to a place where they have no choice. And I love that, Joey, because people, they can sit there quiet, I'm sure, you know, like you're not forcing them, but they're seeing what this actually is and it's doing the thing. Yeah. The disciple making says on the label, this will change you.
Yeah. And it took a long time, Peyton. I think for the first 10 years, even being a church planner, I was so careful about the gospel because I think if I'm just being honest with myself, I needed connection and I needed affirmation and I needed that from other men. And so I was timid and afraid to actually talk about what Jesus said and what the Bible teaches. What's happened in the last 10 years for me is I don't care about that anymore. I've got my worth from somewhere deeper. I'm connected to the Lord and the love of the Father in such a way that I can preach the gospel, and if it's not received, it's not personal. We can still be friends and play golf, but what I'm finding, people are longing for it. They want to be told the truth of God's word and how Jesus feels about them, and their families are longing for it. My wife is our women's director here, our women's pastor minister. She told me this week, she said, I've had three conversations with women today who are longing for their husbands to be spiritual leaders of their house. And they know it. The men, we just choose the route of the garden. We choose passivity because we don't know any better. No man has ever told us this is what God said, and this is how he said we should live our lives. And what I'm finding is men crave this, even the ones we would consider non-believers. They desperately want, they may not say it that way, but they do. They really do long for it. And so we can boldly proclaim truth and then just watch God do stuff. And that's what we're seeing at our club.
I love it, man. I love it. You know, God's word there's nothing as powerful as God's word when the Spirit, you know, just thrusts it home, right? I mean,
yep.
Yeah, so amazing. That's what it was made for, right? Like John's gospel always to me, I love the fact that John says, I write this so that you would believe. Mm. Like John's telling you, this is what this book is for. Yeah. You know?
No ifs, ands, and buts about it.
That's it. Right. It's like when you got to bust up concrete, you grab a sledgehammer, right? Mm-hmm. When you got to see someone come to Jesus, you grab one of those gospels, brother. So I love that. But okay, so my question, you know, is I know people were listening, church planners hearing this, and of course, they're game. They're like, listen, I am on mission in my community already. You know, this is a church planner, but I think for some of our listeners, the key just might have turned in the lock and something clicked, and they're thinking, wait a second, not only can I do my favorite thing in the world and go golf, but I can do it and be on ministry.
That's it.
On mission. Wait a second. How has this not been something that I've already been doing? And so I want to ask you, I know you're going to want to talk to that first. So we'll do that. Maybe I just hang that out there and I'll come back to my actual question.
Yeah. I mean, that's when life gets fun, right? You enjoy the surfing community and you can act naturally to surfers. You've got a lot to talk about. You understand the landscape. You know the needs. You know what it feels like to long to ride the wave. Well, golfers share a same passion for chasing that little white golf ball around the cow pasture. We want to get in the hole as few strokes as possible. And it's ridiculous. You either get it or you don't. But if you get it, you got something to talk about.
Yeah.
And you're watching professionals do it. And now we have this podcast. We're like, hey, you want to hear from Scotty the day after he won the biggest event on the planet? Here's the podcast link. Who doesn't want to hear that? And then the tone shifts and all of a sudden, Scotty is deeply engaged in gospel conversations. Here's how and Scotty says, I do not define myself as a golfer. In fact, he said, the day I define myself as a golfer is the day I quit playing professional golf. He's the best in the world.
Wow.
And that's what he's saying.
Wow.
And so golfers who don't know Christ have no framework for this, but they're all looking for his life and going, how is he so wildly successful at this game? Well, stay tuned, because the next 30 minutes, we're digging into the Word of God, and we're talking about how that shapes his family. So now, as a golfer, and for your listeners who are golfers, send a link to the Scotty Scheffler interview after, and then watch the shift happen where he talks about the Bible, and they dig into the truth of God's Word together, and you go, oh, this is what he means when he says, I don't define myself as a golfer. So not only do you get to talk about things that you love and are passionate about in a very natural way, but you get to send them a link to a podcast and then have a gospel conversation and say, what if God wants to intervene in your life too?
Well, it's funny that you say that because you and I are in a group that tackles that whole question, right?
Uh-huh.
But that is the great leveler. And I think the gospel is the great leveler. Like, it didn't matter if you were, you know, Herod, Agrippa, Pontius Pilate, Peter, a slave. It didn't matter. You had that same question kicking around, and the gospel reached across all social strata. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of like death is the great leveler. Didn't matter, you know, like how you were born or what you had or what you died with when you died, but you died. And like Job said, I came with nothing into this world, and with nothing I will leave. And that whole idea, that great leveler thing, I think the only time people really taste that outside of birth and death is the gospel itself. It brings us all to our knees together, and it just cuts across all that. So I love that people, at the very core of their identity, which I think is what discipleship and disciple making is about. Sorry, I got a train going by and I'm trying to outrun it, but it overtook me. If I could get my sentence out before it passes, you might not hear it because I got a muffler. You gotta have a muffler when you live right by the train track. So,
nice.
But. You know, my second part of that question, it goes back to the planner listening who says, I could see myself really doing this. Is this the kind of thing that's franchised out? Or you guys, is this spreading all over?
Yeah.
Is this something that somebody could say, hey, I want to do this. Where do I sign up?
Yeah, absolutely. So these are popping up organically now, literally all over the world. So all that the listener would have to do, I don't have a golf caddy or a Bible caddy email. You can send me an email at joey@citychurch.tv, and I will connect you with Jason Stubblefield, who's our group's leader. He does a short interview to talk about the heart and really to hear about you and your desire. And then it's a real simple, they built it in a way that's so scalable. It's so easy. And it really helps you think missionally. Now, if you're not a relational person, you're probably, first of all, not listening to this podcast. But second, you may have a little bit of a challenge starting. But we're seeing groups meet. One of the guys I coach meets in a barn in his backyard. He's got a golf sim and a barn. And they come in and they have some food. They have drinks together. They sit around a table. Some nights they play poker. And then once a week they come in and have a feature group Bible study. And this team has built tools for this. So I'm looking at mine right now for tonight. It's 4 pages of rich notes and questions. The men have already listened to the Bible study. That's the beauty of the podcast. So you send that out to the men in your group. You've already primed the pump. Now you just show up, talk about the scriptures, ask questions, and then actually experience Jesus together in that foursome or that group setting. But it takes a lot of different forms. We're actually now kind of adding another thing. So we're picking a different night and we're calling it date night because I don't want to just lead a Bible study for guys. I want men to become the spiritual leader of their homes. So we're calling it date night. We go to the same restaurant and I'll do a 5-minute devotional, cut it into slips of paper, put it on every, got permission by the restaurant to put it on every table. You come in and you lead your family through a short devotional. Well, we're helping men disciple their families. Oh. We're helping them become the spiritual leaders.
That's pretty cool.
That's our role as disciple makers, right? Is we want men to be the leaders of their family. So it's just another easy. All that's low lifting. The whole thing is very low effort. It's at a great restaurant. We have great food. We have great drinks. And now we're having great conversations and true friendships are being strengthened through this group. I mean, guys have a home and they feel comfortable with these men.
I love it. Well, guys, there's a couple things. you know, Bible Caddy, go check that podcast out. Yeah. If you start one of these, you're going to be connected with Bible Caddy. And, you know, you're going to be connected with great guys. I'm really happy that you guys can get connected with Joey. One other thing, couple things about Joey. Like I said, he's not going to tell you everything. He's actually Dr. Joey Cook. He's got a PhD, which, you know, he's a little shy about it, but, you know, he's a baller. And here's kind of the thing. He's a very gifted pastor. He's not going to tell you everything he does, but he's also a coach. There's just something about when I talk to Joey, even before this interview, you know, just I open up. Like, there's just something about Joey where he's wired for this. He's wired for discipleship, disciple making, and people just want to talk to him. And he does have a coaching ministry that if you are interested, Joey, where do they get in touch with you for that?
Yeah, they can send an email. I work with my brother-in-law owns a company. He's also a pastor. It's called Breckenridge Coaching, and they help men rediscover their hearts. So he coaches high performance CEOs, leaders, pastors all over the country, and really teaches. It's CrossFit for the soul. We help them come into just an awareness of the emotions that they're feeling. When I first came across this, I was in a place of I was going hard, man, and trying to accomplish and do things. And I remember seeing the 8 feelings on a sheet of paper and seeing the word sad. And that this sounds ridiculous now, but not knowing what it felt like to feel sad. I was like, well, I've cried before. Is that what that means? No, to actually let yourself grieve and feel sadness. And so he and we help men. And then leverage those emotions as a place to come to the Father, because every good dad wants his children to be near and to be able to honestly have a conversation with him. And so those emotions open the door to what I believe is a truly a healthy relationship with Jesus, and it provides a door for that. So
that's really good, man. And I know that, you know, just knowing you, it's funny how you said, you know, it seems silly to say it now, like, but yeah, I mean, I've been with you where you've talked about things, you know, as we've journeyed together over the past couple years, man. Well, look, guys, I am better for knowing Joey. I hope you will be too. In fact, I know you will if you reach out to him. This has been the Church Planner Podcast. Peyton Jones, my guest has been Joey Cook, and we've been talking about golf, mission, and discipleship. And it's been an absolute pleasure. Joey, thanks for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Peyton.
Well, hey, on behalf of the Church Planner Podcast, I want to thank you, my audience, for listening and remind you, remember, if you want to reach the ones nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.